Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
I nailed this girl down a little while ago and said, you haven't been to cell groups or small groups for a really long time, and you need to come to this one. So I just want to invite Nicole to come up. You know, Pastor Carl and I, you know, I think we do a pretty good job most of the time sharing the word and preaching and everything, but it is really nice to hear from other people in the body, don't you think? Amen. All right. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. So I wrote some things down so I stay on track and I don't babble. To introduce myself, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Nicole Kuypers. I have been here at this church for approximately 14 years. I got married about 9 years ago right here on a Wednesday afternoon. I dedicated my children in this place. I was baptized over there about 10 years ago, and I watched my oldest son, Noah, who's up there, who's 14, get baptized right over here about a year ago. So I watched my best friend get married here about 7 years ago. So this is really my family and my community. And so I've spent many moments with many of you crying and rejoicing, struggling and grappling for my faith. I've shared my life with you, and I'm very grateful. Okay, I won't cry, I promise. So I was asked to speak by Pastor Cheryl on Friday when we were here about my small group experience. So, and Pastor Cheryl, like she said, invited me to the small group experience. It's been a while, and when your pastor kind of seeks you out to come to small group, you don't say no. And just to add to that, whenever my pastors have suggested something to me, it's always brought me some... I've always prospered from that experience, so it's always been good. So I just wanted to talk about the group experience that I've been having with this particular book, The Gospel in 10 Words by Paul Ellis. And my group has been fantastic. I've seen a few of my group people here this morning. Put your hand up, wave to me. Yeah, there you all are. Yeah. So I would describe this recent group experience as ordinary and extraordinary. On one hand, it has been ordinary in the respect of the group members are ordinary. They experience trouble in life. They have been beaten up by life too, just like me. The feeling of relating to another cannot be underestimated. It is so comforting and offers true connection when another person understands and accepts you with your struggles and theirs. The extraordinary component lies in the very same people I referred to as ordinary. The extraordinariness lies in their testimony, their overcoming, and their love. The way with which people tell you their story of heartache or struggle, and you just can't believe it because they're so perfected in front of you. They're so redeemed, they're so changed that not a trace of sin is left. And it is so inspiring. So The Gospel in 10 Words is an amazing book. So I'm just going to start with I'm just going to tell you about the two themes that are the first themes of the 10 words that describes the gospel. And the first one is loved. So the themes in the book are very, very simple, but very revolutionary. So loved. So we live in a culture, in a world where merit is favored, where you are rewarded based on what you do, what you can do, how much you have accomplished, and this can mess with your head. You can become trained to believe that this world is teaching you something, that these successes and failures are messages from God about you, that you need to change, that you need to do better to get what you need, to be happy and fulfilled, even to feel love. Well, this book obliterates these worldly merits like beatings. And there is no such thing as exaggerating that love. And I quote from the book, "God won't love you any more if you succeed, and he won't love you any less if you fail. If you led millions to Christ or none at all, he will love you just the same. God loved you while you were dead in sin, and he doesn't stop loving you when you are saved. His love endures forever. And with knowledge of his great and extravagant love, we can rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. So the second theme is forgiven. So in all of God's majesty and greatness, he made a glorious plan for our redemption, for a complete obliteration of our sin. This book describes it like this. Forgiveness of sin is literally a matter of life or death. People are dying for lack of forgiveness. The good news is that forgiveness is powerful. It heals, it restores, it liberates, and brings reconciliation. Forgiveness saves lives. Personally, I've been plagued with guilt, shame, and condemnation throughout my life, even throughout my faith walk. This condemnation has placed me in a position to resist God's presence, to believe in the lie that I am not worthy of God's grace, light, love, and favor. To illustrate, I submitted my life to Christ when his unabounding love and grace invaded my heart. I was moved with his love, acceptance, and forgiveness towards me. No one could convince me otherwise that God sees me in the light of his finished work of the cross is how he sees me, which is complete perfection and perfectness. My thoughts continue to be that if God is for me, if he thinks I am perfect and righteous, then I can do anything that I want. And because of his great love, I want to do whatever he wants me to do. His love and his presence is like a big drink of water, a soothing ointment, and the biggest party that empowers me. In closing, then, if you want or you need more revelation, and that goes for whether you are young or old in Christ or in years, or you need more convincing, as we all do, that nothing can separate us from his love. Death can't and life can't. The angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Join a small group where you will be supported by others who will care for you, and you will learn your worth and how to accept your God.
Thanks. I wanted Nicole to share that because this is a really, really great book. It seems like, don't go away, it seems really simple, the gospel in 10 words, and can kind of be deceiving in the title, but it really is simple and profound all at the same time. And so, you know, we don't pick books out and things to do for our small groups just haphazardly. We actually want to grow people up, and we actually want people to come to the place where they know and fully understand that they are loved unconditionally and that they are forgiven unconditionally. And so that was just a little plug so that when we start the next group of small groups, you're going to jump in, or I'm going to have to hunt you down, and you'll have to do like Nicole said and just obey your pastor because it's good for you. Amen. I love you, Nicole. You make me proud. I told you to come to church. Boy, she's a really obedient person, but you know what? God's done good things in your lives, and I'm really proud of you and Joshua. You make me really proud as a young couple and as a family and as parents. God bless you guys. Yay for Nicole. Woo! Alrighty. I have to admit, I don't think this will be too long. And when I was preparing this, and I was at home, I actually could hardly contain myself a few times when I was thinking about the content of what I wanted to say. Because I love the whole idea of being unlimited. And I love that Janet kind of gave us a definition of unlimited. And living an unlimited, inexhaustible, boundless, measurable, incalculable, endless, never-ending, unqualified, unrestricted, absolute, and supreme. That's the life that we've been called to live. And, you know, I really enjoy that Pastor Carl's kind of led us down this path. And, we kind of go, well, really God wants you to live an unlimited life. Like, really? Is it that over the top? But it really is. Because John 10:10 says this, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come, and I have come to give you life to the full until it overflows. Amen? Our life is meant to be an overflowing demonstration of God's goodness, his glory, and his power. And I love that he even gave an Old Testament kind of analogy about Obed-Edom. And, you know, it's so out of character in an Old Testament story that Obed-Edom would do so little to warrant the presence of God. He just opened up the door to the Ark of the Covenant, and he experienced the blessing, the presence, and the glory of God. I love that. I love that Pastor Carl shared that scripture in Isaiah 60. It says, arise, shine, for your life light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Great darkness covers the earth, but you arise because God's glory has risen upon you. And the characteristic mark of a life unlimited is the glory of God being manifest in our lives. Amen? Amen? Okay, I just have to warn you. I want you to shout me down today. I'm telling you, I'm going to give you permission later on that you have to get engaged and don't go all sleepy, dopey, and slumbery. I want you to be engaged today because I want you to be cognizant of what God has done in your lives today. Amen? This isn't just coming to a sermon and coming, you know, doing my God thing. I want you to be engaged mentally, spiritually, and emotionally in what God is saying to us today. Amen? You got me? Alrighty. And you know, Jesus prayed in John 17, and it is an amazing glimpse into an experience and a relationship between Jesus and his Father, where he prayed, God, I just pray, Father, I give them the glory that you have given me, I've given them, that they may be one as we are one, I in them, you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you love me. And I love this whole idea because it's in the perfect tense, in the sense that it is completely done and as a prayer is completely effective. Amen? So does that mean, you know, living an unlimited life means we have to glow like a light bulb? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I kind of like to glow like a light bulb. I think that'd be a great sign and a wonder. But I don't think it means just that. I think it means that everything about our lives can have moments where it's turned upside down, but in spite of it being upside down, we can be manifesting the endless glory and the unlimited favor of God in our lives. Amen? And so we are meant for glory. We are meant for riches. We are meant for success. We are meant to experience the immeasurable goodness of God to us. And so one has to wonder, which I do, because I always ask these questions. I don't know why, but I go, oh, well, if we're supposed to live an unlimited life, why do so many of us live limited lives? I don't know. I'm not in denial or anything. I believe in God's goodness, but there are times when I just don't think I'm living out of the unlimitless goodness of God. Anyone else in the room? So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, who is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And he says this, he says, I want you to know, brethren, many times I've planned and intended to come to you, though thus far I have been hindered and prevented. Later on in Romans 15, he says this, this ambition is the reason why I have so frequently been hindered from coming to you. In Galatians, he says, you are running a race nobly. Who has interfered or hindered and stopped you and heeded you following the truth? In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, it says, because it is our will to come to you, I mean that I, Paul, again and again wanted to come to you, but Satan has hindered and impeded me. You know what? Life happens. Anybody experiencing life this week? There are times when we feel hindered. Hindered is to hamper, to obstruct, to impede, to retard, to prevent, to thwart, to foil, to delay, to slow down, to hold back, hold up, stop, restrict, restrain, constrain, check, curtail, cramp, handicap, hamstring, and frustrate. Handicap. But things happen. Life happens. You know, I think about Paul. And one of the most wonderful things about the Apostle Paul is, you know, I'll read a list of things that attempted to impede him, curtail him, and hold him back. And yet he always had this victorious air about him. There's only a couple times in Scripture where we ever see Paul commiserating about any hindrances, like when he says, I prayed to the Lord that this thorn would be removed from me, Judaizers, not sickness. And God said, my strength is, you know, sufficient for you. Or when he says to Timothy, oh, bring my coat. I've missed you. It's going to get cold. And can you come to me quickly? And so there are these inferences where Paul had gone through some personal things and had really experienced some tremendous issues. And it isn't the miracles and the signs and wonders that Paul performed that make me admire him. It's that Paul himself was a miracle. And I'll tell you why. Listen to this. Think about the hindrances of Paul. He was in prison more frequently than any of the other apostles. He was flogged more severely. He was exposed to death again and again. 5 times he received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 5 times 39. That means that man received over 150 lashes of a whip. That would hinder me. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned and left for dead, but got back up, went into the city and preached again. He spent three times he was shipwrecked. He spent a night and a day in the open sea. He's been constantly on the move. He's been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from his own countrymen, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the country, danger at sea. He's labored and toiled, gone without sleep. He said, I've known hunger, I've known thirst, I've gone without food, I've been food. I've been clothed, I've been naked, and I face daily the pressure of the church. He lost friends, he had fellow ministers to die. Paul had some interests in his life, don't you think? And yet Paul, he said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2:14. He says, now thanks be to God, which always causes me to triumph. Isn't that awesome? Like, here's a guy stoned and left for dead, beaten with rods, whipped almost like 150 times. He causes me to triumph. And so here's a man who experienced some hindrances, and yet his life manifested the unlimited goodness of God. He manifested the unlimitless glory of God in his life because he continued to do the work. He continued to encourage the church, and he continued to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen? Amen. So what happens to you and I? I don't know. I would like to say I'm a like Paul, because he's a little bit A-type personality, but I have to admit there are times that I do not manifest the limitless life that God has provided me. Amen? So sometimes I find myself kind of commiserating about things that happen in life. And I get irritated with myself, you know? And so you might think, oh, well, you haven't had any hindrances. I've had some hindrances. Uh-huh. I came from a very poor home. I've been a pastor for 25 years. That'll knock the snot right out of you. I'd like to say I'm like Paul, but there are times when I forget the goodness of God. And you know, so I ask the question, what causes us to stay or not to live the unlimited life that God wants and is intended for us to live? And there are hindrances, and they do come, and they do try and foil your attempts to be, you know, everything that God's called you to be. But you know what? I think the clue was in the first scripture that Carl used when he started this whole sermon series in Psalm 78, verse 40 and 42. He says, they did not remember my mighty works. You know, and that's what happens when we get inundated with life. When sickness comes, or when death comes, or when job loss comes, or when financial debt comes, we get inundated and we are obscured to the goodness of God in our life, you know? And we're not alone. Hello? I'm not alone. I'm sure you're not alone. This is what happens. But you know, that happens because even in the midst of those trials, tribulations, and hindrances, we can't forget. Amen? We can't forget about God. Amen? We can't forget about who he has made us, and we sure ought not to forget the things that he has done. Amen? I've been a Christian for over 32 years. And God is really, really good. And so, you know, Janet was talking about unlimitless provision. I've seen God provide miraculously in my life, and so it's too late. However, there are times and seasons where I just go, stink, that's really crappy. And you know, there's a really wonderful scripture in the book of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. And Peter, in very Pauline fashion, begins the chapter by telling us how wonderful we are. He says, you have been given divine nature, and you have been given great and precious promises. And then he encourages out of that place of having divine nature and having precious promises to accomplish all that God's called us to do. He said, now I want you to add these things. I want you to add these virtues to your life. And not because you need them to be accepted, but you need them to be manifesting the unlimited glory of God. And then he says really something in verse 8. He says, if you are lacking any of these things, or you are lacking in these things, you have become short-sighted and blind and have forgotten that you have been cleansed from your sins. See, that's what happens when we get hindered. That's what happens when life throws crap at us. We become short-sighted and we forget, one, that I've been cleansed from my sin, two, that I have divine nature, and three, that I have great and exceeding and precious promises that are spoken to me. Amen? And that's what hindrances attempt to do. They attempt to obscure the goodness of God that is in your life and continuing to work in your life. And Peter does something very interesting. He says, therefore, I intend to keep reminding you of these things. What things? That I have great and precious promises, that I have been given divine nature. And he goes on to say, and I know that you know them and you're already established in them, but I think as long as I'm in this body, I will refresh your memory. Since I know that in my death, my death will soon come, as the Lord Jesus has made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to recall. Peter is saying something very important. He says, I want you to remember. As long as I have breath in my being, I want you to remember that you have divine nature, that you have been given great and exceeding promises. If you want to live the unlimited life that God has destined you to be, you need to remember that you have been given great and exceeding precious promises, that you have been given divine nature. You need to remember who you are. You need to remember who God is. And we need to remember what God's done. Amen? So that's where we're going. Who are you? Who is he? And what has he done? Who am I? Who are you? I'm accepted, I am secure, and I am significant to God. Amen? Colossians 2, verse 9 to 10 says, "For this is, you just need to get your mind around this, okay? Just think about this, because this just blows me away, because I feel like I'm pretty awesome when I read this. It says, "For in him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form. And you, are you here today? You're here? You are in him, and are made full, and having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you reach spiritual stature, and he is the head of all rule and authority and every angelic principality and power." I have God living in me. I don't have an animation from heaven. I have the Godhead living in me by the Holy Spirit. And you might use it like this. It says, fullness in him, we are in him, fullness is ours. I am accepted, I am significant, and I am secure. That whole word complete in him is kind of a Greek word picture of a ship that is fully furnished for a journey. I am fully furnished for the journey called life. I am fully furnished to live an unlimited life in Christ. Amen? So who am I? Who are you? Who are you? I want you to think about this. Think real hard. Well, not too hard, because I want you to enjoy and bask in the whole thought of this. I am in Christ. Amen? Galatians says, as many of you were baptized in Christ and have put on Christ, you are in Christ. I am a child of God and he is my Father. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons through faith. I am a new creation in God. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am an heir with the Father and I am a joint heir with Christ. I'm no longer a slave, but I am a son. And if heirs, I'm a fellow heir with Christ. I am reconciled to God. Jesus reconciled me to God. And I'm now am one who reconciles others to God. I am God's workmanship, created in God and created for good works. I am a citizen of heaven. I'm no longer a stranger or an alien. I'm a fellow citizen and a saint of heaven. I am united with the Lord, and he is united with me. He is joined to me. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit resides within me. I am a friend of Christ. Jesus said, I no longer call you slaves or servants, but I call you friends. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am righteous and holy. I am hidden with God in Christ, or hidden with Christ in God. I am the light of the world. I am filled with the divine nature. I have escaped the corruption of this world. I have been given great and exceeding and precious promises. I share a heavenly calling. I am more than a conqueror with Christ. I am a partaker in his life. I am one of the living stones being built up into a holy temple. I am born again and I have joint origin with Jesus Christ. I am a child who always triumphs in every situation, and I become the fragrance of God in every place that I go. I am seated with him in heavenly places. I am saved by grace, and I am a recipient of every spiritual blessing. I am his treasure. I am his diamond. I am engraved on his hand. I am a sign and a wonder in this place. Amen? Who are you? You are all those things. Those are all the things that God has given you that belong to you. Amen? Don't get too excited. I am a recipient of every good and perfect gift. That's who I am. I need to remember. If I'm going to live an unlimited life in God, I need to remember, I need to recall, I need to reminisce, I need to take to oneself. Lambano is a word that Peter used in you have forgotten from which you were cleansed. It means you haven't taken to yourself and you haven't taken it as if you own, I own that I am in Christ. I own that I am forgiven. I own that I'm engraven on his hand. I own that I'm a joint heir. I own that I have taken it and I have made it a part of my very DNA. Amen. Who are you? Who are you? Who's God? Sometimes we forget God. He is God, mighty and strong. He is God, creator. He is God, King of glory and Lord Almighty. He is God who provides. He is God who heals. He is God, my banner, my rallying place. He is God who sanctifies and makes me holy. He is God my peace. He is God my righteousness. He is God my shepherd. I shall lack no good thing. He is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is my mighty counselor. He wraps himself in life. He is rich in love. He is abundant in goodness. He is faithful. He is good to all that he has made. He is good to the prostitute. He is good to the pimp. He is good to the addict. He is good to the lawyer. He's good to the wealthy businessman. He's good to the broken, and he loves them all just the same. Amen. He is compassionate and full of mercy. He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And I'm not hearing a whole lot of amens because you all should be shouting about this. He is an ever-present help. He is a giver of good gifts. He is one who keeps his promises. He is right in all his ways. He sings over me and dances over me with joy. He is my shelter. He is my sun and shield. And no good thing does he withhold from me. He is the Father of lights, and there is no shadow of turning with him. He is on my side and causes my enemies to flee in 7 different directions. He causes me to inherit what I did not work for. He causes the boundary lines to fall in pleasant places. He will never, ever, ever condemn me. He is my portion and he is my inheritance. He is a father to the fatherless and a husband to the widow. He is forgiving. He is a savior. He makes me glad. He is God with us. He is full of kindness. He does not leave us as an orphan. He makes my soul to prosper so my body is in good health. He gives me all things for my enjoyment. He makes me his dwelling place. He makes me glorious. He lavishes me with his love. And he marks me with the seal of the Holy Spirit. That's my God. That's my God. That's what I recall of my God. What do you recall of your God? God didn't make just a single drop of water. He made an ocean. God didn't create one star. He created galaxies. God didn't make one species of bird, he made 1,000. He doesn't make a hill, he makes rocky mountains. He doesn't make the sun, he makes the sunset and the sunrise. There are no limits to his love. There are no boundaries to his blessing. There are no fences withholding his faithfulness. There are no lines separating me from salvation. And there are no guardrails against his grace. Amen? Who are you and who is he to you? Do you recall when you go through hindrances, and I'm not making light that we go through things, and life sucks, people lose loved ones, people have loss in their life, but you know what? Who are you? Who is he to you? And what has he done? Well, let's just think about what he's done. He creates out of nothing. He upholds the world by his hand. He saves. He forgives. He heals. He crowns your life with compassion. He satisfies your soul. He loves you with an everlasting love. He accepts you. He makes you holy. He's adopted and made you an heir. He's given you a big brother, and his name is Jesus. He commands angels to guard and protect you. He is the one who makes a barren womb fruitful. He is the one who turns the hearts of the wicked. He divides the seas so people can walk by and walk through unsafe and dry ground. He healed the bitter waters of Marah. He gave manna to the people to eat in the desert. He gave them a rock to drink from in the desert. He gave the people the wealth of Egypt when they were leaving. He made Aaron's staff bud. He preserved Jonah in a whale. He made Dagon fall before the ark of God. He kept the boys out of the fiery furnace. Well, not out, but from being burned. He kept Daniel from being eaten by hungry lions. He carried Elijah up into heaven. He multiplied the widow's oil so she would not be destroyed by drought and famine. He raised up the Shunammite's son. He made an axe head float. He heals the blind. He heals the lame. He heals every man, woman, and child. He raises his friends from the dead. He heals his friend's mother-in-laws. He passes through the crowds unseen. He causes fish to multiply and fishermen to experience boats sinking harvest. He turns water into wine. He multiplies the loaves and fishes. He calms the seas. He delivers his children. He heals the lunatic. He walks on water. He raises the dead. He ascends into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit. He heals young men who fall out of windows from long-winded preachers. He kept Paul alive in a sea. He does signs and wonders. That's my God. That's what he does. And I will recall, and I will reminisce, and I will remember who I am in him. I will remember who he is, and I will recall the works that he has done. Amen? That's the unlimited life. It isn't just about signs and wonders, although I really like signs and wonders. I like gold dust. I like manna. I like receiving $210,000 for a ministry from an anonymous person. I like all that. But you know what? In spite of all that, I still live life. And I live in a war-torn creation. And we have hindrances from the devil. We have hindrances from environment. We have hindrances from natural catastrophes. But I know who I am. I know who he is. And I know what he has done. Amen? We are called to live an unlimited life because you and I, we are awesome. He is marvelous in all that he does. And you know what? I had a hard time just stopping listening to the good things of God and what he does and what he has done for us. Amen? You go through the Bible, and John said in his gospel, in John chapter 1, he said, I suppose that if we tried to write down all the things that Jesus did, there would not be enough room and there would not be enough books to store the things that we record about what Jesus does. Unlimited. I serve a God who is boundless in mercy. He is boundless in love. He is boundless in grace. And he loves me. Unlimited life. Don't let hindrances stop you, take you off track. Don't be blinded and short-sighted about what God has cleansed you from and what he's brought you to. Stay focused. Set your mind on things that are above. Set your mind, call to remembrance what God has done for you. And so here's your participation today. I want you all to stand up. I did that in like 25 minutes. And I'm out of breath. There's a story, author Peter Kreft uses this story, this illustration about a family who's coming to America on a boat. And the boy says to his dad, oh, if I have to eat another cheese sandwich, I'm going to die. And the father, wanting to help his son, gives him a nickel and says, go find something from the canteen. And long after the boy is sent out with the dad's last nickel, he comes back with a smile on his face. And the dad says, what took you so long? He says, I was eating ice cream and steaks. And the father said, all that for a nickel? He said, no, it came with the ticket. Sometimes we don't live out of the abundance that God has provided. We have been given everything we need for life and godliness. That's what Peter said. God has given you everything you need for life and godliness, and you have been given divine nature and great and exceeding and precious promises. Amen? So this is what I want. I want people to start declaring themselves before we do the song. You have to, don't be scaredy cats here. I want you to begin to shout out who you are, who he is, and what he's done. Amen? Are you ready? I don't even care if it all happens at one time, but we're just going to take like a minute or so. I want to hear a shout so loud. I want heaven to rejoice over what's going on. I want you to be affirmed and assured of who you are, how good God is, and what he can do for you. Amen? Can you do that for me? Okay. On the count of three, you're going to start, and I don't care how messy it sounds, you're going to start declaring the good thing. And I don't want to hear, God, I thank you that you are good. I thank you that I am accepted. I thank you that I am loved. I don't know about you, but I could scream from the mountaintops of my gratitude to God. And you know, this is what you need to do every time, because life will continue to batter you. That's all there is to it. It will attempt to cut you off and cut you off in your tracks. But you have to make a decision that I will call to remembrance. I will reminisce, one, who I am, two, who God is, and what he continues to do. Amen? So on the count of three, we're just going to take a few seconds, and I want to hear. Are you ready? Are you back there too, y'all? One, two, three. As loud as I anticipated. I think I had in my mind this glorious kind of loud thing, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to sing an old song. And it's, what's it called again?
I don't even know what it's called.
When I think about the goodness and what he's done for me, I think about his goodness and how he set me free. When I think about his goodness, something, something, something.
I'm going to dance.
Yeah. So this is, you have to dance. I don't care if it's a two-step. This is the altar call today. I want to see a visible expression that you understand that you live an unlimited life, that you know who you are, that you know who God is, and you know what he did yesterday, he'll do today, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So Carly, lead us in a victorious song. Amen? Yeah, yeah.
Ready.
And I'm watching.
So look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm gonna praise his name. Each day it's just the same. Oh, I'm gonna praise him. Look what the Lord has done.
Sing that again, look.
So look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Each day is just the same. Oh, I'm gonna praise him. Look what the Lord has done. When I think, and when I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, think about his goodness and how he set me free. I'm gonna dance. the Lord has done. Let's say, look. So look what the Lord has done. So look what the Lord has done. Oh, 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 look what the Lord has done. Because He healed. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise His name. Each day is just the same. Oh, I'm gonna praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
Hallelujah. Be blessed. Be victorious.